say thank you when you see one of them. Now, I just want to follow up very quickly. We were blessed to have the choir sing with for us today. And the reason they were singing was because this is a season of celebration and worship. Now, during this time of year, we celebrate the Son of God, Jesus, came into this world 2,000 years ago, born in a manger. But Jesus did not simply come to give us a nostalgic feeling. Jesus came because he came to live both to, or he came both to live for us and to die for us. And you might ask, why did he do this? And we're going to tell you this morning, but I want to tell you that this is an incredible gift that God has given us with Jesus coming. And this gift that Jesus has bestowed on us this morning that we're going to talk about is called being part of God's family. So let's just pray for a minute and ask God to guide us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the choir. We thank you for all the work that went into that, those working at the back, those leading, those singing, those doing solos and quartets. Father, we are just blessed this morning to have this ministry here. But we know that the purpose, Father, was to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And so we lift him up, we praise him, we glorify him. Father, we give you praise. Now may you give us understanding of your word by the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one thing about being in a choir is that as you practice and spend time together, you grow close together. And, you know, the closer you are together as a choir, the better you will sound. So obviously our choir is quite close. We're going to go with that, right? Now, they work together singing as a family, you could say. And our choir could not help but sing joyfully this morning because not only do they share the bond of a shared experience together, practicing and performing together, but they share a very special bond of being Christians. And so they share the bond of being brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So this is why they sing praises to God and must sing praises to God, because it's part of their very being. The choir is singing about this good news that Jesus came. And I want to read to you a verse that maybe isn't normally read at Christmas time, but it's John 1:12. And it says, "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Now, if we're going to understand why I said earlier that it's a gift to be part of God's family, we must understand why the Bible calls this good news. See, God made the world good. He designed everything. And he designed us to have a relationship with him. And we were always meant to be part of the family. But something happened. According to the Bible, sadly, humanity fell into sin by disobeying God, rebelling against him. And this is sin. And so the Bible tells us there's some bad news. The bad news is that the consequence of sin is death. Romans 5:12 says this, "As sin came into the world through one man, death through sin, and so death spread to all because all sinned." So death is not just physical, it's also spiritual death, which means we're separated from God and being part of God's family. But I told you, I said this was good news that we heard about this morning. And here's what it is. All who receive Jesus, all who believe in Jesus, the Bible tells us in that John verse that I read, he gives them the right to become the children of God. Now, why did Jesus come to earth? Well, so that we could become part of God's family. How did this happen? Well, the Bible tells us we're separated from God because of our sin, and Jesus came into this world to do something about that separation. And so How did he do that? Well, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God, and he came from heaven, from his throne, next to the Heavenly Father, who planned a rescue mission. And the Bible tells us this is good news because God planned for our rescue. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God the Father sent his Son Jesus. Willingly, Jesus came to earth. And here's an interesting thing. The Bible sometimes calls Jesus the Word. The Word. And so in John chapter 1, which we read, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's referring to Jesus. But the Bible says that there would be hope for humanity and a Savior would come to rescue sinners. So ancient prophecies foretold that Christ would come, born of a virgin, and he would be born that meant he would be born supernaturally by God's power and without sin. But this Word, the Word was in heaven. Jesus was in heaven. We needed rescue. And this exciting verse in John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh. That's Jesus came to earth, was born in a manger, born of a virgin, and he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as from the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what the Bible tells us is that Jesus didn't come just to give us warm, fuzzy feelings. He came to deal with our sin. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, I deliver to you of importance what I also receive, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance for the scripture of the Scriptures. So what did Jesus do? He came, he lived a perfect sinless life, he died on a cross to take the punishment for sin that should be ours. See, when you live in sin, sadly, the truth is the wrath of God is upon us for our sin. But I want to tell you what the Bible tells us about how good this gift of being part of God's family is. Because what does Jesus do? He pays for our sin. And Ephesians chapter 2 says this, you were dead. So we're spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, following Satan and evil. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. All of us are sinners. Carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So that sounds heavy, and it is heavy. The Bible's not playing around. The truth is, we have a sin problem. But then it says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love by which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's a great gift because it's by grace. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. By the way, not of your own doing means you can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good works to get to heaven, attend church enough, pray enough. That's not what it's about. It's about trusting that Jesus did the work on the cross by paying for your sin, by dying for you and rising again. So by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. And then it says, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here we have this beautiful truth in John 1:12, that we are given the right to become the children of God. And that longer passage that I just read says we will be seated with God in heaven, and forever God will let us know and learn and understand the glory of his riches and his grace and his mercy to us. We will be part of the family forever. So the bottom line is that being a child of God means that you're forgiven of your sin. God adopts you as a son or daughter. You no longer face the wrath of sin because Jesus paid for it. And eternal hell, that consequence is gone. But now you have the hope of heaven. Not because you earned it, but because God is rich in mercy. And you will spend eternity learning the reality of the riches of that grace. What an incredible gift to go from sinner who has no hope, who is lost in their sin, to a child of God who now lives forever in heaven with God. And by the way, God cares about his children right now. And when you're his child, he will meet all your needs. He knows your needs. He knows your struggles. He knows your sorrows. But he is there with you through them. Now, what is our obligation? It's very straightforward. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, what do we have to do? What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? It means to ask God to forgive your sin and to believe that Jesus will save you from your sin, that he died and he rose again on the third day. This is not a group thing. You must personally do this. Each person must come before God and admit and confess their sin and ask Christ to save them. But the beauty is, when you have confessed your sin is forgiven. You are secure in Christ, and you're part of the family. And by the way, this family, the family of God, one of the cool things about it is that it doesn't matter where you come from, every tongue, tribe, and nation, those who believe in Jesus are part of God's family. And that's a beautiful thing. So Jesus buys this with his own blood, and we must become part of God's family. Our response is to be obedient to the message. We've been told to turn from our sin and believe. So I'm going to ask you today, maybe this is your first time here, would you receive this gift today by turning from your sin and believing in Jesus? By the way, this is the gift that keeps on giving because it lasts forever. Come to Jesus and know the gift of being part of God's family. And if you are, can we not continue to praise God like the choir did this morning? Praising him for all he has done for us, letting others know about this blessed gift, calling them to take hold of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. No wonder this is good news. No wonder we are called to respond to this. You know, when I was younger, I remember one year my parents got a Christmas present. Now, being a boy, my generation, it was all about G.I. Joe, okay? And they had managed to get, for those of you in my age bracket, one of the most coveted cool presents you can imagine, the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. Oh, yeah. 7 feet of plastic. It was awesome. Anyway, I was too excited Christmas Eve when everybody was in bed. Now, by the way, it's not a wrappable present. It's huge. So while everybody else is in bed, I sneak out. Wake my brother up, you know, 3 a.m. Come on, come see this. We played with that thing for several hours. Then I went back to bed. And my parents were very confused in the morning because, first of all, they had to wake us up Christmas morning. And when we saw the present, we didn't give the dramatic, wow! We had to confess. But can I tell you this? The Bible tells us what's going to happen. The Bible gives away what the best gift is ever. And we already know it. We already know, and it doesn't spoil anything. In fact, we have so much to look forward to. And can I tell you, even though you read about it right now, that you can become a child of God and that you will live forever in heaven with God, you, when you stand in the presence of God, will still say, wow, nothing is spoiled. In fact, we have everything to look forward to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one here. I pray that they would respond to this message of the gospel, that if they would just turn to Christ and put their hope in Him today. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, part of the family. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who sang for us this morning and ministered and glorified the name of Christ. And we just thank you that we can be the family of God. And as we go to our families, as we celebrate Christmas, may we rejoice in the great truth of your name, O God, and may we rejoice in the hope of being part of the family of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to close with one verse, and then we'll send you on your way. Luke chapter 2. And before I close, I just want to say thank you again. Now that the choir is in here, let's thank them again because they weren't in here. I can hear some personal fan clubs going on right there. That's good. Luke chapter 2 says this, and let's stand and be dismissed with this verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas, and may God bless you.